Well, we're back. That took a little bit, but we're back. Welcome to the Cave 2.0. If you're joining us for the first time this evening, Cave 2.0 is a multi-pronged project that I'm engaged in. First and foremost, right now, the focus of the Cave 2.0 is the cartoon. It's an animation first that I've ever made, and it's based on Plato's allegory of the cave, which was in his work, The Republic, written about 2,500 years ago. So that'd be about 400 or 500 BC for those of you trying to do the math right now. Don't ever want to get stuck doing math if you don't know math. Yep. I see. Is he going to get me over? Well, this guy just doesn't want to be that way. All right. So, where was I? Yes. Math and the Cave 2.0. So, if you're just joining us, you're joining me live. I am on the road and I am talking on my Bluetooth. It's a hands-free set. I do know the law. Can't talk on the phone and drive at the same time, your cell phone. So, anybody who's got any cell phones to their head, especially if you're trying to listen with a cell phone to your head, trying to drive, that's a no bueno. So we need to be safe while we're out there, folks. Safety is key. It is paramount. Can't live without it. So we're calling. We're calling in and doing our live cast on the Cave 2.0 from, right now we're in Oakland, California. Don't know how many of our listeners out there are from Oakland. If you are, hey, California. Hella cool out tonight. Point being, this cartoon, Cave 2.0, the basis of the Cave 2.0, which is Plato's allegory, was that those who do not try to educate themselves and gain knowledge, what they're doing is they're cheating themselves. Whether it's it through ignorance or willfully, if they're not trying to gain an education, improve themselves, learn more about their world and reality about them, they might as well be like prisoners chained to a rock or a boulder in a cave facing only one wall. All they see is one wall. And out of their field of vision, behind them, is a fire that's going and objects and people are passing in front of the fire. All they've ever seen is the shadows that are projected from the people and objects going from the fire. Because they've been chained in this cave for so long, held prisoner, they start making up stories about the shadows, right? Trying to find patterns, make sense out of everything, right? To them, that's their reality. And lo and behold, one of the prisoners escapes, gets out in the real world, and he discovers the sun and properties of the sun is it's shooting off rays of light our direction, and anything in between us and the sun creates a shadow. So he learns all these things. He goes back to free his fellow prisoners, and he's telling them about the cave and what he really experienced when he escaped, what's really going on out there in the world outside of the cave, and they don't believe him. In fact, they get angry and want to attack him. They think he's mad. So that story's always stuck with me. So the Cave 2.0, I guess the heart of it is really about stories. And what kind of story do you like? You know, those stories we tell ourselves obviously are going to be the stories that we love the most. Because the stories we tell ourselves is how we prop up our understanding and interaction dictates our interactions to the world, to most people. So the Cave 2.0 is an opportunity to get out of the cave, escape, and discuss the nature of reality, this world that we live in. What is truth? And would we recognize truth if we saw it? Even. So anybody who's listening, you're welcome to call in. If you are... we have a particularly amazing interaction when you call in. you just might get an invite to co-host, and that's always fun. So it doesn't matter where you're from, where you stand, or what your beliefs are, you're always welcome to call into the Cave 2.0. Now, there are ground rules. Ground rules are, you need to understand that the format is the Socratic method. For those of you who don't know what the Socratic method is, it's a means of explaining things, of engaging in communication through the act of asking questions. So, if you don't know what that is necessarily, you've never heard of it, it's the first time you heard of the Socratic method, don't worry. I'm not going to let you drown, okay? Because then I'm drowning with you. We're only as fast as our first drowning. So nobody drowning. I will rescue you. Fortunately for everyone, I have a keen ability to just keep my lips flapping ad nauseum. So don't be afraid. Pick up those phones. Give us a call. Till then, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the animation that I'm working on. It's Genesis. And maybe if we have time, we'll break into the artificial intelligence simulated life theorem. The AI simulated life theorem. It's my own theorem. I dabble in physics. I'm crazy like that. It's one of my favorite subjects. And the theorem is an attempt to disprove the second law of thermodynamics, which would have great implications for our understanding of ourselves and the universe and our place in it. So, the Cave 2.0. So, I started doing art when I was a kid, I was doing art. Always wanted to be a comic book artist, but I was growing up in West Texas, and they're not too keen on liberal snowflake artsy stuff, so I was always encouraged to go get a regular job or at least have a backup and not to be. Hello, are we back? Are we back? Somebody confirm for me, please. Let me know the technical difficulties have cleared. Anyone? Well, it seems like we're all good. All right, ID 15733701. Welcome. So we were talking about the cave. So discovered... I guess when I took a shower and washed under my left armpit, a talent for oil pastels fell out of my armpit. A real talent, not one that I'm joking about, but one where I honestly believe I have a masterwork or 500 in me. No, seriously. The masterworks, David, Michelangelo's, the Sistine Chapel, those are masterworks. The raw talent that fell out of my armpit, I'm joking. I was messing with oil pastels. But I was blown away. Everybody's been blown away since last June when I finished my first, what I consider art, called All About the Baristas, which you can easily go and view for yourself and design for yourself at YobiWorks. That's YobiWorks.art. All About the Baristas was my first real piece of artwork. And since then, I've been trying to transition from ops and logistics, specifically in the transportation field, into the art world. Not so easy when you're 46. So I've been networking and talking to people. And I was talking to Kevin Coffey, who is an animator. He's got a really interesting website, but he was a Smurf animator. He animated the Smurfs, and he also is the guy who did Heard It Through the Grapevine California Raisins commercial, that animated one, if you're old enough to remember that commercial. And I asked him, so you're a success. What do I need to do to be a success? To get noticed. And he said, make a cartoon. And that's what I've been doing. That's the genesis of the Cave 2.0. I had wanted to do a painting I was going to call the Cave 2.0 and already had these characters prefabricated for the painting. So I just started developing the characters and going a little bit deeper. And now I've got the Cave 2.0. And I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to love the offering. It's a nice, deep exploration of niche reality. It's updated for the modern world. It's got about, right now, 9 characters in the cave. And I can tell you a little bit about the start. This cartoon, The Cave 2.0, starts out with a flame. A flame of knowledge. A flame starts burning. It almost goes out, and then it flickers, gets brighter, and then settles back down on the other side of the screen. And you see the words. In ancient times, humanity invented bondage. It zooms in, and then you see a cave entrance and a boy between 2 adult figures being led in. And as he walks up, and we zoom in on him, we zoom into his eye, and through his eye, into the next scene where we see the boy at a boulder, being chained to the boulder by the 2 adult figures. And then it zooms into his eye, and then we see another cave entrance, a lot more detail. And there's another young boy there with bright red hair. And he's tagging the inside of the cave with his name, Red. And it looks like he's just about done tagging the cave when there's a sound. He looks up, looks into the, deeper into the cave. So he stands up, listens again. He thinks he hears something. So he pulls out his cell phone, turns on his cell phone flashlight to go deeper into the cave. Goes deeper into the cave, he's exploring, and his flashlight comes down on top of a body. What's this, a body? He starts going forward, you know, hesitantly, and it looks to be a female body. And there's a dog next to her. Is she hurt? We don't know. He rushes up to her, and she starts to shake her, and she groggily opens her eyes and sees him, and her eyes shoot wide open in alarm. And she starts pushing him, telling him he needs to get out. And he doesn't understand why she's saying that. He starts looking around, and his eyes start getting real heavy. She's trying to get him out, but he falls over, falls down on the ground, on the floor, the cave, and he's out. So that's a little sneaky view of animation. It's got a little bit of everything for everybody. With that, it's open. I want to remind everybody that the lines are open for anyone to be calling in and to discuss the nature of reality. The format is the Socratic method. So if you just hit that button right there on your smartphone or laptop and dial on in, you can have a little discussion with moi. We can talk about the nature of reality. Are we in a simulation? What's the basis of that theory? Why would anybody think that? Maybe some of you are mystified. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that. There are some scientists, statisticians, theoretical physicists that have put forward the idea that we might be in a simulation. Now, as hard as that may be to grasp, or easy, depending on
how much you've read or how widely. Statistically, just on hard mathematical numbers, we have a greater chance that we are in a simulation. The odds are greater that we're in a simulation than that there are aliens in another advanced civilization in the universe. Think about that for a minute. It's pretty good odds when you put the numbers down that there is an alien civilization out there and that it might be significantly advanced, that it could communicate with us. Okay? The odds that we live in a simulation are better than that. How are they better? What, you crazy talking over there in California? You libtard? You happy snowflake? Maybe. There is a basis. There's groundwork and history behind the idea. Even Elon Musk wondered. And he's often said we need to be careful about bringing the AI into existence because in doing so, we are summoning the demon. All right, well, we're going to take a short break, probably about 15 minutes, and we'll be back at 23:30 Pacific time. That's military time. Others on the Pacific coast, it's going to be 11:30 is when we're going to be coming back here. And remember, folks, this is very reminiscent, if you're old enough to remember the old radio midnight show called Coast to Coast with Art Bell. And he'd talk about all kinds of things that interested him. Chupacabra, Loch Ness. He'd have a nice mix of kooks and crazies and geniuses. So we're going to be back at 23:30 military time, Pacific. That's 11:30. We're going to be back. We're going to take a short break. And I hope we have some callers calling in. We can talk about the nature of reality. Do we live in a simulation? What's the history and background for that theory? And we might very well be joined by a co-host at that time. That would be Sabrina Siebert, my partner. And every bit got me whipped when it comes to intelligence. She's smart. She's got 2 master's degrees. I only got a bachelor's. All right. So we'll call it a 10-minute break, and we'll see you back here at 23:30 military time Pacific. That's 11:30 p.m. Pacific time, and we're going to get on our coast-to-coast type in-depth philosophical forum. All right, talk to you then.
Hey, Kiko.
Yeah. She had a good dinner.
Can you grab this?
Out there? That was empty when I left. I had to put food out here.
Okay, have you left empty?
He ate, and then I put food out there for water.
I'll grab
my
sandwiches.
Sure, let's do it in here. I've got him. I'm on break, and I said I might be joined by Carlos. Which is you, if you hadn't guessed.
From comfy.
I got some bands tonight, and we might actually have more people there for the Hell Works. One's last week next Thursday. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Somebody's taking it over. Sure. Okay. Kind of starting to see a rough outline, a real routine actually. I have to examine it. Didn't record it. We also had like we had a high